When Chris and Debbie Howell's daughter, Jasmine, was just 13 years old, she contracted Lyme disease. Since then, their lives have never been the same.
Today on Real Family Talk, we'll meet this courageous family and find out how, despite this trial, their faith remains strong. Join us. Lyme disease is a bacterial disease transmitted to humans through the bite of tiny infected ticks that leave red, circular rashes and sometimes yield debilitating symptoms.
Joining us today are Chris and Debbie Howell and their daughter Jasmine. They know all too well the impact of Lyme disease because Jasmine has been challenged by it for 12 years. Welcome, Chris, Debbie, and Jasmine. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
So share with us what happened when this all started.
And I guess I'm going.
Okay.
All right. It began when I was 13, about 12 years ago. Basically just going from being a regular, you know, everyday, hyper, you know, very active kid to just being bedridden, feeling like I had the flu all the time. At least 2 months, I'd say. It was, you know, just progressively getting worse.
So you just felt sick all the time.
Yeah, exhaustion, brain fog. I didn't really have much physical pain at that time, but it was more like chronic stress, realizing now it's anxiety. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of, you know, on top of puberty, dealing with the infection symptoms and not knowing what's what.
That must have been pretty scary for you.
Yeah. I mean, you're not given a guideline, you know, what to do if you're ever sick. So.
Right. So what were you guys thinking when this was happening?
Well, we did have her taken to doctors. You know, we've been to so many doctors the last 12 years. Even today, Lyme disease is very elusive. It's so hard to diagnose, and even with a good diagnosis, a lot of doctors aren't even really sure how to treat it. So backtrack 12 years ago, how little, you know, even less than that was known than today. So just trying to find answers and feeling bad for Jasmine because a lot of doctors couldn't find answers, and so she kind of felt unheard. Sometimes she felt like she might be just making it all up. Yeah. And so trying to support her through that and say, there's got to be somebody out there who can give us the answers we're looking for.
So I'm interested in knowing how long did it take before it was diagnosed?
It actually wasn't long. In hindsight, I'm not sure when exactly the infection happened. I had mentioned earlier that people usually do get the rash. I didn't. A lot of people actually don't. But the symptoms can be onset even years later. So it was at the age of 13 that I began getting symptoms, but treatment-wise, it was within the first month of the diagnosis. It was just a month of antibiotics, oral antibiotics.
So you're saying it took a month for them to find out what was going on?
A couple of months until the symptoms began manifesting the way they did. But then within that month of the diagnosis, they said, okay, so we'll treat it. But that didn't ultimately help.
Yeah.
So
this was her pediatrician. And the test didn't come back conclusive. He said she might have it, so let's just give her antibiotics. We'll see what happens. So it was kind of still in there. We're not really sure what's going on here.
Yeah, and you're still trying not to, like, scare the family either. So, Chris, what were you thinking in all of this as you see your daughter just suffering in this way?
I also had contracted Lyme disease, and it went undiagnosed, untreated for quite some time, and had a surgical procedure because they still had not properly diagnosed what it was. When it was properly diagnosed, I received very aggressive treatment, which stopped it for me.
Wow. Okay.
But for Jasmine, you know, because it wasn't caught soon enough, you know, it's been heart-wrenching watching her being bedridden, you know, having the best years of her life robbed from her.
Yeah.
Doctor after doctor after doctor, different medications, you know, trying everything that's out there and not having anything work has been very difficult to deal with.
I can imagine. And you stated an interesting thing because that's been my understanding of Lyme disease, that once they diagnose it, you know, you can cure it and then you can go on with life. But what I'm seeing here is that you have a chronic form of Lyme disease. And so now you've been living with it for 12 years. So what is a typical day like for you?
It varies day to day, but mornings are very difficult to get moving. I have a lot of joint pain and inflammation, so I wake up, especially if it's been cold or rainy. Storms make it terrible.
Wow.
So you can imagine Maryland weather is awful.
Yes, yes. Yes.
But, you know, just once the morning passes, it's kind of like a late start. A lot of my plans, whether it be for working or being with friends or socializing, appointments are all in the afternoon because it takes me up until like 10 or 11 to really actually get moving. So
you know, my interest is when they found out that you had Lyme disease, and you said it took a while, they treated it aggressively. So when they found out that Jasmine had Lyme disease, why was it not treated aggressively?
I think it wasn't caught early enough.
Is that what it was?
I don't recall how long it was until they actually, you know, confirmed that it was Lyme disease that she had. Lyme disease can be treated if it's caught very early.
Okay.
But if it's not, then it manifests itself basically in every organ of the body.
Wow.
All of the joints, the nervous system, the digestive system. It affects the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy, all of the different symptoms that it can cause if it's allowed to manifest itself in the body.
Right. But, and I think, you know, perhaps we should also, just for our viewers' sake, talk about how does one get Lyme disease?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea how you got it? Or, I've always heard, you know, like, beware of deer, you know, when you go mm-hmm. in the woods because they carry ticks. How does one get it?
It's a tick bite. It's a deer tick, usually, that bites. And there's a lot of deer in Maryland. So we have pets that go out in the yard, a lot of cats, you know, some dogs. So at the time, they weren't treated. And plus, me being active, I was always climbing trees, playing in the woods, you know, rolling in grass, but never remembered getting bitten. So,
yeah, that's really difficult. So now how has this changed or redirected your whole family life? How has it impacted your family life, Debbie?
Well, it's been very hard. I think Chris used the word heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you, as your children grow and you kind of see their gifting and their hearts for life and you want so much for them.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then to see something that continues to try to steal, you know, her, not only her health, but her future. She's very smart. She's very creative, very fun-loving. But one of the things that happens through this disease is a brain fog. So she has not been able to finish college, even though that was something she really wanted to do. She's 25. She wants to be on her own. And as much as I love having her at home still, it breaks my heart that, you know, the vision she has for her life is just like stopped.
Everything has come to
a halt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And how's it been for your friends and your friendships? How have your friends been handling this?
The fake ones, you know, didn't stay, obviously.
Right.
But I'm actually very thankful for that. The friends that have stayed are either ones that I've known for years or people who have relatives and loved ones who have dealt with similar issues or they deal with it. So it's people that are either open-minded and open to, you know, learning about it or people who say, I get it, me too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So what do you wish people understood about your Lyme disease or Lyme disease in general that perhaps we still have not covered? And is there something that can mitigate it? Is there something we should be careful about? Is there something that we can do?
A big thing is listening. You know, a lot of people, their symptoms and their cases are so different. You know, I've talked to at least 10 people with Lyme disease and none of us have the same symptoms. You know, maybe similar, like, yeah, I'm in pain or yeah, I'm tired or, you know, I can't think straight, but nobody has, oh yeah, I have A to Z just like you do. So it's not about saying, well, my friend said this, so maybe it's really not, or maybe my friend did yoga, maybe it'll help you. It's, suggestions are great, but when it comes to dismissing or comparing, that's when it becomes very toxic.
Okay. So you want people to listen more.
Right.
Listen to your journey. Well, thank you, Jasmine, for sharing your story today. We'll continue the conversation with Debbie right after the break.
While about 30,000 cases are reported in the United States annually, the Centers for Disease Control estimates that Lyme disease impacts 300,000 people here and some 360,000 people in Europe each year. In addition, the Lyme Disease Association reports that the disease is present in more than 80 countries of the world. We just met Jasmine Howell, who's living with Lyme disease, and Debbie's her mom. Glad to speak to you some more, Debbie.
Glad to be here.
How do you cope?
That's a loaded question.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, 12 years is a long time to not only cope, but to hold on to your hope for something better, some answers. And even though we continue to take her to the best doctors we can find, the best way I cope as her mom is my faith in God.
Okay.
And the journey.
So that sustains you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So worship is a huge part of the time I spend with God, where he strengthens me, speaks to me, praying scriptures, having wonderful friends who I can reach out to, because I never want to be with Jasmine in pain and look hopeless to her.
Right.
So I might have to step away and call my friends, is pray for her, pray for me, you know, that I can be that beacon of strength to get her through, you know, another flare-up that she's having.
Yeah. How often does she has these flare-ups?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the weather. So when it's cold, like in the winter time, she suffers a lot more. The moon cycles affect her. If there's a full moon, she's won't be able to get out of bed for a
little bit. And is it that she has more pain when these things happen?
Pain, inflammation throughout her whole body. It really hits her in her spine. She said she feels like there's thousands of hot needles just stabbing her.
Wow. And how has the community supported you? Because you're speaking about your faith. You're speaking about reaching out to friends when Jasmine is in pain. And you don't want to see her. You don't want her to see you hopeless.
Right. They've been incredible. I mean, my friends love her almost as much as I do as her mom. And they would do anything to help her and just to support us.
They come over, they pray for her.
They do. When she has one or two friends, because, you know, when somebody is in that kind of pain, they tend to isolate and push you away because they're just trying to get through it.
Absolutely.
But she does have one or two people that she'll let in that I can call on to just come in and say, hey, we're here for you, we love you, and whatever you need, we'll make it happen.
I think what must be difficult for her, too, is that she, you know, when she was here and she mentioned that she was a hyperactive child, and she was so active and involved and climbing trees, and then all of a sudden you're stricken with this debilitating disease. And yet, I mean, she seems very positive. So to affirm you, you know, whatever you're doing is probably working. And I'm sure she probably has days that she's down.
Right.
But what we're told is that you have a way of praying for her and your other daughter.
Right.
And why don't you tell us a little bit more about this special way of praying?
Well, God is incredible. And I believe the more you need him, the more he's going to show up for you.
Absolutely.
And so when she began her time, you know, just suffering with Lyme disease, and I would just cry out to him. There were just so many things happening, and I just, help us heal her. Mm. And he began to show me the power of praying his word back to him.
Amen.
He said, you don't have to beg me, Debbie.
Yeah.
You don't have to twist my arm. Everything you need is in the word. I've already said it.
Already made the promise.
I've already promised it.
Yes.
You need to get in agreement with that, and you need to have a breakthrough here so that together we can step into her story. And even though God hasn't 100% healed her yet, I've seen him step in the last 12 years in so many ways to keep me going.
Amen.
And I'm like, God, I believe that you are in this, because when you go in the Bible, it says things like, you know, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
But
Jesus came to bring life. So where is she right now? Whose plan is this for her life?
Yes.
Right.
Not Jesus.
Right.
So I need to just really step into his word and say, God, even before I see it manifested in my daughter's life, I'm not only going to believe it, but I'm going to thank you for it.
So it's a faith journey.
Yeah.
It's a faith walk
Absolutely.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure that as the disease continues and she has bouts where she's in pain, you need to call on that faith.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. Yes. It is really hard.
It has to be. I think what's important about what you're sharing in your story is that it's not that it's easy.
Right.
That it is hard, and yet you're still taking this as an opportunity to draw closer to God. Mm-hmm. So you specifically mentioned that you pray these prayers. So would you like to share one of your prayers with us?
Absolutely. This is a journal I made for her so that even after I'm gone, she can't get away from my prayers. So this is a prayer I wrote out for her, and it's based on Psalm 104, verses 3-5. God, more than any doctor, you heal Jasmine's Lyme disease. You have reached down into the pit to deliver her from death. You crown her with unfailing love and compassion. When her soul is famished and withering, you fill her with good and beautiful things, satisfying her as long as she lives. You are making her strong like an eagle, restoring her youth. Oh, I mean, that it's like God put it in there for her.
Yes.
The devil stole 12 years of her youth. God's like, I got this. I can not only heal her, but I can restore all those years.
Praise God.
Right. That's beautiful. You know, that's so beautiful. Can you read another one?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Sure.
I think it will be so helpful for our viewers going through other types of illnesses.
Or even this one.
For me, this is how I release her into his hands, mm-hmm. is through the word, because I'm like, okay, this is who you are for her, and I'm just going to sit here with you in this moment.
Yes.
So this is a couple verses from Ephesians chapter 1, and I put her name on the top, so this is kind of me talking to her through prayer. Jasmine, may God himself, the heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you and impart total well-being into your life. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon you as a love gift from your wonderful heavenly Father, because he sees you wrapped up into Christ. Celebrate him with all your heart. He chose you to be his very own, Amen. Joining you to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's hope right there.
That's hope right there. Yeah. You know, this is so powerful, and I wish, I just want to hold this up, because this is just the most amazing journal, and it's just, it's so beautiful and colorful and so personal.
Yes.
And the fact that you've been able to take scripture and bring it to life and make it so real, that's just powerful. We're talking about Lyme disease today. We're also talking about faith, and we're talking about faith of a mother. We'll talk more with Debbie Howell in a moment. Stay with us. Debbie Howell is here today. We've been talking to her about the impact of Lyme disease on her family. So, Debbie, before the break, we were talking about your journal, and then we mentioned that you also have a blog, mm-hmm. and you've written a book.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us a little bit about the blog first, and then we'll talk about your book?
Sure. Well, last year, 2018, in the spring, I took her to Reardon Clinic in Wichita, Kansas.
Okay.
And so she was there for almost 2 weeks getting aggressive, holistic treatments, and I was just there to support her, take her to appointments. And so I had a lot of time of waiting with her, so I decided to start a blog about my journey with her.
That's amazing.
And this is probably some of the most vulnerable things I've ever written before, because I was in the moment with her and seeing, you know, her with all the needles, because she had a lot of IV treatments that were high dosages of vitamin C.
Okay.
And then she had something called blood irradiation done. So a lot of injections, you know, that were painful. But the other thing that was hard during that time was a lot of times if you treat it too aggressively, it will kind of rear its ugly head and manifest itself in worse ways through, like, so she kind of had an emotional crash one day. And that was really painful to experience and see in her life. So I just kind of put it all out there on this blog of, in the pain of the moment, like, where do I see God?
Okay, so tell us a little bit about an example of what you wrote about in the blog.
Okay. It was just basically, okay, so here's where we're at with the doctor today. This is how they're treating her. I remember probably one of the most moving things I wrote about was there was maybe the fourth day in. We were pretty much there all day with these nurses. One of the nurses called me out to talk to me, so I went out. And she had tears in her eyes, and she said, I just want you to know how beautiful it is to see the relationship you have with your daughter, because a lot of people do bring like their adult children here, but there's so much tension between them because it is stressful,
yeah.
You know?
For both people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it kind of can really wreak havoc in an entire family. Yeah. So I get that. So for her to take the time to say, it's really touching to see the love and support you have for her. Thought, okay, God, you're really in this because,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, it's His grace.
It's a witness.
Yeah.
You're
actually
witnessing to this staff at the hospital.
Right.
Yeah. So who has been following your blog? Have you been getting a positive response to it?
I had a lot of people. I'm not even sure how they found my blog, but I just started getting all these followers, people, you know, who would submit their email so that they would get a notification every time I blogged. And some people might comment, but I think a lot of people were just kind of following it to look for moments of hope for their own journey.
I'd be interested in knowing what kind of responses you're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. She's saying that people are,
saying, what are they saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're just saying, you know, a lot of them are praying.
Yeah.
They're just saying, you know, we are praying for her. We're so sorry for everything she's going through. So it was kind of neat to get support from people I've never met.
You've developed a new family,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just amazed by how you continue to push your faith, because that's what I'm hearing from you. It's like you're saying, "Okay, God, this is really difficult," and it just seems to be getting more difficult.
Yeah.
But yet, your faith seems to be growing.
It's growing, but it's through a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah.
I have really hard days, just like Jasmine does, especially when she's hurting.
Yeah. Hurting.
I'm like, God, give me the Band-Aid. Give me the, like, what is it? What can I do? And I know that it hurts his heart, too.
Yeah, of course.
So that's when I press in. Okay, talk to me. And part of my journey today is practicing listening before God.
Yeah.
Because even if we're in the Bible and we're like, okay, God, here's a promise, I'm going to pray it, I'm going to believe it, we can put our own twist on what we want God to do with it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to learn and practice now is, okay, God, I believe the scripture is for Jasmine. Let me sit with you in this word and be still and listen. How do you want to step into her story through the scripture?
And you know what? It's interesting what you're saying about, you know, sometimes you feel weak because you have good company. I mean, you just have to read scripture and see that even prophets and people who God spoke through and people who God performed miracles. I'm thinking about Elijah on Mount Carmel and all that happened through him. And yet at one point he was saying, just take my life.
Yeah, enough is enough.
I'm the only one who has not bowed my knees to Baal.
Yep. Yeah.
And God is saying, who says?
Yeah.
You're looking at this little piece and there's all of this up here.
Right.
So, you know, it's...
And even Paul in 2 Corinthians where he says, you know, we're pressed up against on every side, but we're not going to give in. You know, we're going to continue.
Yeah.
And I see you doing that and it's so beautiful. And so not only do you have a blog and a prayer journal, but you also wrote a book.
Right.
And
a prayer book.
One Thing I Ask, Praying God's Heart Through His Word by Debbie Howell. Tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, that actually was interesting because I'm not really a writer and I never planned on writing a book, but I have a radio show on a Christian station with a friend of mine, and somebody overheard something I was sharing and he said, you know, you really need to write a book because what you talk about praying the Word of God and journaling, like a lot of people don't know how to do that. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I kind of laughed it off. Well, then God just kept putting people in my path to show me there is really a need. So I said, okay, God, if you want me to write a book, I'll write a book. So it's just basically the last 12 years, what He's taught me through prayer. And a lot of it's the hard stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably one of the The most reaction I've gotten is the chapter I wrote on Jasmine.
Okay.
There's a chapter on when my dad died. As I was praying scriptures of God's deliverance and healing over his hospital bed. Yes. So, you know, what is it that you learn? How can you get back up after those things?
For me, I'm looking at your spiritual journey, and I think that these valleys, if you will, God has brought in your life to make you stronger and to make your connection and faith in him even stronger as you're growing every day.
Yeah.
What an amazing story.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And so you have a chapter here that says, I have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really catchy chapter. What did you talk about in that chapter?
Just about who God is to me through prayer and how my prayer life changed when God said, pick up my word and practice praying.
Yeah. Mm.
Because you think about it, you know, as Christians, what is one of the things we're really trying to attain? Capturing the will of God to pray it.
Yeah.
But how can you know God's heart?
That's amazing. That's an amazing story. We wish to thank you and the entire family for coming and sharing with us Jasmine's story.
And thanks to our viewers for watching Real Family Talk. We'll see you next time.